Good afternoon. This is Pastor Woods, and I want to talk to you today on Are You Really Satisfied? I've developed this sermon, which I will go to in just a few minutes, but I want to tell you about a breaking news alert that I learned Thursday night late, about 1 in the morning. And it goes like this. Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of the UK, has announced that every citizen in the UK will be required to have a digital ID system by the end of Parliament, which is August 2029, to curb illegal immigration by making it compulsory for all workers to prove their right to work at the UK. They will not be able to have work or buy or sell. This includes food and such services as applying for benefits, childcare, opening a bank account, and on and on. The ID number will start out being stored on their smartphones, similar to digital bank cards, but undoubtedly it will be moved as a mark on the body for security reasons, because people can lose their smartphone or, you know, misplace them, and you cannot lose something that's put on your body. Bill Gates has recommended a tattoo be placed on each individual when this all comes into effect. If they do not comply with the government and have a registered ID, people are not going to be able to have the services that they're used to. This was verified by Glenn Beck and Elon Musk and the World Economic Forum and Eric Stackelbeck and a host of others, so I know that it's authentic. This is all part of the Great Reset and promises a one world government by 2030. Switzerland and Australia have already adopted this system, giving their governments control over their citizens. This is in preparation for the mark of the beast, which is found in Revelation chapter 13, 16 and 17, and Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 11. The reason I want you to pay attention, I had heard a quote-unquote Bible professor one time say, well, he wasn't worried about the mark of the beast. He would take it so that he could buy and sell and everything because he didn't see any consequences. Well, the problem was he didn't read Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, that says if anyone takes that mark, they're damned to hell for all eternity. So I want to say this, please take heed and get your life straightened out with Jesus Christ while you still have time. Confess your sins to him. Let him change your life. I almost changed today's podcast to cover this recent development, and I felt like I needed to go this other sermon too. So I will address this more fully next week. And in the meantime, I want to ask you, are you really satisfied? Psalm 17:15, the New King James Version says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. And Jeremiah 31:14 says, I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with goodness, says the Lord. And Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, ever since man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and fell because of sin, he's been like a fish out of water. He has looked for something to satisfy his hungry soul. There is a void in the human heart that longs to be filled. In our text, God promises treasure that can't be found anywhere else. People try to fill that void and find satisfaction in so many different things. In wealth, I was thinking about when I was working at driving an armored car, and I had to go out to a place east of Globe to a casino out there that was run by the Apaches, and I remember several busloads of miserable old women busing into the casinos so they could go and they could spend their husband's money that he left for them, trying to find some kind of satisfaction, trying to get some kind of wealth. And they all looked miserable. And I imagine that there was no satisfaction, at least lasting satisfaction, even if they won at the slot machines. People search for filling that void with pleasure. And I was thinking about fashion. I remember when my girls were in grade school and all the kids had Izod clothes and stuff. And so Marty tried to help the girls. She got an alligator and sewed it on the things that she was making. But everybody at school said, "Well, that's not authentic. The Izod is backwards." And so again, the girls were not satisfied. Their longing was not satisfied. People use art, they use music, they use travel, they use drugs and alcohol, sex, all these things trying to fill that void. But these things only mock them like an ever-fleeting mirage. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void and satisfy your soul. Christianity is more than a crutch. It's a relationship with our Creator God Almighty. And it is something that will fill that void that you are is driving you to try to satisfy your soul. Before you can recommend Christ to others, though, he must satisfy you. There's a vast difference between being satisfied and just claiming to be satisfied. We've been in places where the surroundings of food or people or something are not just what we like. But because we have Christian manners, we overlook conditions and make ourselves satisfied. I remember when we were pastoring a little church in Sunflower, Kansas, while I was in seminary. One day, we were invited over for dinner to one of the families. It was a very poor family, and I'll tell you what, it was a dinner that most missionaries would say, "Well, we've never had anything like that." We went into the house and there were clothes hanging on a clothesline there in the living room. We had to push our way through. We found in the kitchen that there was a boy peeling potatoes and he was coughing and hacking, and he would take a bite of the raw potato and then he'd throw it in the pan that was boiling. And you know, that didn't look that satisfying and everything. And then I remember that Marty said, "Well, can I help?" And the lady said, "Well, yeah, you can do the dishes here." And the water was old and slimy, and Marty just didn't really even want to put her hands in there. But she did, because we were doing something for the Lord. And Marty said, "Well, let me drain this water and we'll put in fresh water." And the woman said, No, don't do that. We can't afford too much water in our water bill. So just go ahead and use that. It'll be all right." Well, while Marty was trying to wash the dishes, she looked down and she saw a whole parade of roaches going around the sink, having a little parade there. And she looked at me and rolled her eyes. And then we finally got to where we were sitting down at the table, and the lady brought out this great big piece of meat. It was a heart, a cow heart. And it was fixed in such a way that the dressing was coming out of the aorta and the other veins, and it was stuffed, of course, and the dressing had a red tint to it. And it wasn't, you know, the kid said, "Oh, good, we get meat. We don't very often get meat unless we have company here." Well, we got through the meal. There were other things going on, you know, kids coughing in our plates and everything. And we got through the meal. Then the lady said, "Oh, I've got a dessert here." And she pulled a cake down off the refrigerator that was covered with dust, and she took a knife And she began to slice the cake, and she said, "Oh, I've discovered this something that'll make the frosting not stick." And she licked the knife and cut the first piece of cake, and then stuck the knife in her mouth and licked it again, cut the second. And I thought, "Oh, dear Lord, I don't know if we can go on like this or not." But anyhow, we tried to let the lady know how much we appreciated their efforts, and we were satisfied. But the fact was, it was not a satisfying experience. You know, often people do a similar thing with Christianity. They join the church, they get baptized, they go to work for the Lord, maybe, but they're not satisfied. They long for something more. They go through the motions of receiving Christ in their mind, but their heart is still void. It doesn't go from their head knowledge down to their heart where they commit their lives to Jesus Christ. Often they give mental assent to the experience, but it never gets to the heart. We've tried to divorce emotion. There is still and will always be emotion when it comes to dying out to self and coming alive to Jesus. Christians say over and over, "Well, faith is what we want. It's not emotion. You just have faith in God." Well, there is and will be emotion, like I said. Yes, emotions do play a part. True satisfaction never comes until God controls your life. Watchman Nee said that, "I've never met a soul who has set out to satisfy the Lord who hasn't been satisfied himself." We think we can't be happy until we've satisfied ourselves. Selfish desire pushes God aside, and we grow more miserable trying to find happiness rather than less miserable. A man toured a mental institution, and he passed one of the cells where the man in the cell was beating his head against the padded walls, saying, "Alice, Alice, how could you do it? Alice, how could you do it?" The guide explained the man was in love with Alice, and when Alice jilted him, he drifted off into the ozone. He couldn't handle it. Well, the next cell had a man that was saying, "Alice, Alice, how could you let this happen? Alice, Alice." The visitor said, "Who is he?" The guide said, "He's the man who married Alice." That's the myth of the greener grass. You know, people say, "Well, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence." We never find anything that satisfies us. We always want more. What does satisfy mean? Well, it says to gratify to the fullest extent, that is, fully satisfy the appetite of a hungry man. I remember when my mom used to invite people that dad knew at work to come over and have supper, and she really liked to see a man enjoy his meal, ask for seconds and everything. But, you know, to make perfectly contented, supply fully, to please fully, it's all part of the definition to meet one's highest expectation. Be honest. Are you satisfied today? I mean, no excuses. God